Hi, my name is Johan Falk, and you might know me from one or two Drupal videos. This is episode 16 of the Modules Unraveled podcast.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast, where the Drupal community speaks. And now your host. He's half German, a quarter Irish, an eighth Cherokee, and an eighth other? Brian Lewis.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast. My name is Brian Lewis, and this is the 100th day of the Modules Unraveled podcast. Woo!
Woohoo!
Well, if you're listening on Sunday when it's released, it's the 100th day. Anyways, to celebrate the occasion, I'm talking with Johan Falk, and Johan has most recently worked for Node 1 in Sweden. He's still producing some great Drupal screencasts and tutorials for them that are published at dev.node1.se/en/learning-library, and you can look for that link in the show notes at modulsunraveled.com/podcast/016. He's even written three Drupal books and currently is back in school learning to become, in his words, a kick-ass maths and physics teacher. His main focus in Drupal is in advanced site building and configuration. He's written seven-ish Drupal modules and just recently released another one that we're going to be talking about today. So, Johan, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. I'm great. So good to be here in the podcast. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, man, this is great. I remember when you first commented on the podcast, my response was, oh, crap, I've got a celebrity listening. Now I have to do good stuff.
Yeah, I've been following your podcast, and I have to say they're really great. It's so good to hear Drupal people talk about things that they like because, most people have interesting things to tell about Drupal, and your podcast is a good place to learn them.
Well, thank you. why don't we go ahead and get to you? Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and where you're from?
Sure. So, Johan Falk, I'm 30-ish year old, live in Sweden, Stockholm. I have some kind of a passion for Drupal, and at not least doing what I call screencast, that is video capturing of my screen, where I do video tutorials for Drupal and things. Since, I don't know, 9 months ago or something, I've started studying to become a teacher, math and physics. I have a physics background. I've done some different things, and finally I've decided to become a teacher because I really love teaching.
Cool. Well, how did you get started with Drupal if you had a physics background?
I had a physics background, which eventually turned into a science journalist career, and I was working at a popular science magazine, and that magazine needed a new website, and I started looking around, found Drupal, and then one thing led to another, and I started working at the Swedish Drupal group and making some tutorials and guides and videos and things, and 2 years later or something, I got an offer from Node 1 to work with them. And I really couldn't resist it because that meant I could try working with my passion. So I did. And that's how I got started. That was like, I don't know, 5 years ago or something.
Hmm. Cool. It seems like most people I talk to were doing something else and then were told they needed a website. And, you know, they just kind of jumped in at that point.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
And like most Drupalists, I think I also tried making my own CMS at some point before I started looking at existing ones.
Right. Okay. Well, what's the most recent project you've been working on?
Aha. Well, that's a project called Skill Compass, a module, or actually a set of modules or feature exports that is used to create a site for managing learning resources. It's kind of a big thing, and I think this is definitely the biggest module I've made for Drupal, and I think it's the most serious module I've done as well, because this time I feel that I want to maintain this one and keep it up to date, add new features, and even have like upgrade paths and things for it.
This is your brand new module, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't had a chance to play with it yet since it's so new, but I was taking a look at the project page, and it definitely looks really good, and I'll probably even use it in a future version of the Modules Unraveled website.
Awesome.
So I'm really excited to hear more about it and to get a little, to dive in a little deeper into it. So
yeah,
for somebody who hasn't heard of Skill Compass yet, can you explain what it is and what it does?
Yeah, sure. So it's a module you want to learn, you want to use if you want to have someone else learning a subject, or you want to teach a particular subject. And then you use this module and break up the subject into topics, smaller pieces. And these topics are interrelated in some way. You can have like subtopics, and you can have this topic depends on another topic. So you have to learn this first and then that one and things like that. And the Skill Compass helps you managing these this subject, making it presentable. Well, all of this is kind of abstract. Let's try an example instead. One of the things I want to do with Skill Compass is to launch a website, which I will do any day now, where I will collect resources for learning Drupal. And learning Drupal is kind of a big subject. There are tons of great blog posts and videos and documentation pages at Drupal.org and everything. And there's really no way of, well, the problem is that you don't know where to find the good stuff. And you don't know what to look for if you're new learning Drupal. So I hope that this Skill Compass modules will help me or help others make a nice structure of Drupal topics that you can learn. And for each topic, there are resources, learning resources attached, not uploaded to the site itself, but pointing to other pages on the web. Hmm. So you go there and learn, say, using fields, which is a topic that is a part of, I don't know, using entities. And to understand entities, you need to start by learning using content types or something. And it's all a part of site building with Drupal or something. Mm-hmm. So you, and one of the big things with this is the graphical representation of all these topics, which I think is, from a technical point of view, a really small thing in the modules. But from a user point of view, it's like the most important thing you have on the site from these modules, because it allows you to browse through all the available topics in an intuitive way. So you find a topic, you can click on it, and it branches out to show the subtopics. You can click on those, and these in turn branch out, so you can like drill down into the topic you want to learn. And then you go into that topic and find some learning resources and things.
Okay, so something I picked up on was that you're not planning on storing any of the content on your site, but it's basically going to be a directory pointing to other sites for content.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something I've been thinking a lot about. I've been making a few videos through my years in Drupal.
Uh-huh.
And I have tried to make these like a video, like being video series, a number of videos for learning views or learning Drupal 7 or something. And so you can start on one video and go through all of them. But eventually, all these videos just become a huge mess because you want to learn something particular, like using contextual filters in views. And there are three videos for that in the view series, but then there are two other ones in another series and one video in another series. And there's really no good way of linking these to each other in a sustainable way.
Hmm.
And, of course, there are tons of blog posts and videos and things all over the web to learn the same things or in a different way or related stuff. And I think it's more or less impossible to try to aggregate or collect all the good learning resources in one place. Like having people come to one place and upload their stuff or write their blog posts or post their videos is just not doable. So it's much better just to point to good resources that are out there. The problem is not getting the content, but getting the content organized in a good way.
So that's the website you're building, skillcompass.org. Is that what you're talking about now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And skillcompass.org will use the Skill Compass module set, but the Skill Compass module can be used for a site for learning just about anything, not only Drupal stuff. Okay. It's a tool for just managing these learning resources.
Right. So for skillcompass.org, is it your view that it will be like a wiki type site where other people can post links to their own stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so. It will be, well, people can get accounts on things and post things there. Let me rephrase that. I hope that people will find it the site useful enough that they want to contribute content and vote up and, help it become more useful for others. Mm. And this is, in some aspect, just an experiment I'm doing, throwing something out and see what sticks. There is a problem with Drupal documentation, the Drupal community wiki. There's, I don't know, like 9,000 pages in the Drupal handbooks, the Drupal documentation. And some of them are really good, but they're really difficult to find. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a kind of fundamental problem that has to be changed in how we manage and organize these pages. And this is one approach of how it might be solved. And if it works, then we can reuse things of, parts of this approach on Drupal.org, I hope. But we'll see.
Have you talked with Lynn Clark at all about this?
I have. Oh, yes, I have.
Okay.
And she's doing really interesting stuff with the microdata markup.
Uh-huh.
And she has a project called Drupal Documentation Web. That's a sandbox module, but I'm using it in a small part of the Skill Compass modules. So you can use Drupal projects like Drupal modules and themes and things as taxonomy tags on things you put on Skill Compass sites. Mm. So if you upload a resource or start a topic or something, you can say that this is for views 3.x for Drupal 7 or something. Mm-hmm. And then that resource will get markup that makes it possible for machines to understand that this is a software project called Views. It relates to Drupal.org. And then it's possible to scrape the web and get good resources about Views for Drupal 7, the 3.x version, and get that into a nice list, maybe even on the module page on Drupal.org. And that would be kind of awesome.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I just knew that she was doing some work on getting documentation, you know, onto Drupal.org, and didn't know if you guys were collaborating at all or if you were kind of doing different things.
Yeah, there are tons of things happening on Drupal.org to get documentation worked out or improved. And I'm involved in small parts of this only. I know Jennifer Hodgdon is doing a great job on this. And she's looking for people to help out as well. So if anyone listening to this has ideas and want to contribute to the Drupal documentation, then contact her. Go online on IRC or something, because there are great things going on. And it's kind of interesting because there seem to crop up projects to improve documentation or do certain things with documentation or help people learn Drupal all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And that's... kind of a problem in itself. It's good, of course, when people want to improve things like I do. But it's also a problem that it's so difficult to get these efforts coordinated.
Right.
It's difficult to even know what's going on, how many groups are working with improving documentation in one way or another. And we'll see how that can be solved later on. But yeah.
Okay, let's talk about some more of the features of the Skill Compass module itself. What can you give me some of the background on it and why you wrote it in the first place?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things that got me started on this was the Drupal documentation. And to start with, I actually started this as an idea I got from the Khan Academy, a really cool website mainly for learning math on the web. Might have heard of it. They have a lot of videos and good stuff. And that's very useful for a math teacher in Sweden, but not all of the stuff there are really useful in Sweden. So I needed to pick out parts of Khan Academy, and I wanted to mimic some of the things they were doing there, dividing the math subject into smaller topics and things. So I got part of the inspiration from there. Then I got some inspiration from discussions going on with something called the Open Curriculum Initiative for Drupal. And we were mapping up skill sets that you need to have, well, sets of skills you need to have when working with Drupal and how these were related to each other. And that spawned a lot of discussions and people talking about what kind of skills were necessary and how they related to each other. So that got me some ideas of what I wanted to do in this Skill Compass module. And which leads me into some of the cool features that I've managed to get into Skill Compass. Because these topics that you can break up a subject into, they are related. Like I said, like a topic can include other topics, so you have subtopics, but also require topics and things. And not everyone would agree on the how you say that topics are related. And in Skill Compass, you can actually vote on relations between topics. So I may, for example, say that views is a part of basic site building, but someone else says that no, views is a part of advanced site building, and you actually need to know how to work with fields before starting to use views. And then you can add these relations, and people can vote on them, and so on. So that's one of the things I'm really happy about.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, and I think it's necessary if you want to have, for some parts at least, if you want to organize, say, Drupal learning resources, you'll need to every once in a while restructure how Drupal topics are organized, because Drupal change and how you use Drupal changes also. So if you have a tool that can accept this, you have a lot of benefits from it, I think. Some other cool topics, features I got into Skill Compass, I think, is the ability to get suggested topics to learn. If you mark three topics as mastered, you can get suggestions to say, well, these two topics now enables you to learn, something else. Now that you have learned how to work with content types in Drupal, you can start looking at using entities in a more general way, for example. And that's kind of useful, because oftentimes you don't really know what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. You think, I want to learn Drupal, and then you don't even know where to start. And this might be some help for that.
Yeah.
Another thing, I spent quite a bit of time on this, so I have managed to get a few features into these modules. One of them I call progressive permissions. It's kind of like the user points module. Have you heard of that one?
Yes.
All right. So this is close to it. It's much simpler and stripped down, but it allows you to gather points on the site when you do different things, and then you get more permissions when you level up and get new roles, which I think is good from two perspectives. One is that it encourages people to do things on the site, like post comments, vote on things, and contribute content, and so on. But also it allows you to hide some of the more advanced stuff for new users, because when you're new on the site, you don't want to have all the complex and fancy stuff in your face at once. But when you got comfortable with the basic stuff, you get more and more advanced stuff available that you can use, and that's also good.
So you said you're not using user points. Is there a reason for that?
Yes and no. Well, I'm using rules for doing this.
Okay.
Basically all the things I needed were available in rules, so that's what I'm using.
Okay, that makes sense.
User points if you want to have like more complex user points, then the user points module is the thing to use. I didn't have need for that, so I didn't use that.
So you're just using rules to give permissions. That's the only thing you're using points for, is for permissions?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and this as well. I managed to get caching. Well, one of the things I really wanted to have is good caching on a site using Skill Compass, mm-hmm. because you probably want to have a lot of logged-in users on a site like, on a site using Skill Compass, because you want people to contribute and be active on the site and do things.
Right.
And a lot of logged-in users in Drupal can be a problem, because logged-in users normally hit the database on every page load. It can be problematic to cache pages for anonymous users. Like if you have flags on a site that each user can set or unset, then each page each user needs to see a separate page. So you need to have caching for each logged-in user, and that's usually kind of tricky to do in Drupal, but if you use Page Manager and panels, then you can do pretty advanced caching in a pretty good way. Mm. And that's included in Skill Compass, as well as some cool rule stuff using the Cache Actions module that clears cache when the caches needs to be cleared.
Okay.
So if you click a flag saying, I mastered this topic, then some views and some pages are changed. So you have new suggestions on what topics to learn, and you can also, other users can see that now 23 users have mastered this topic instead of 22.
Mm.
And we'll see how that turns out when the site goes live in a day or two, but we'll see.
Right. I saw on the project page a nice little mind map type tree looking thing. What was that for?
Yeah, that's for browsing. You probably saw the one showing topics and subtopics. So you can, in the example with learning Drupal, you can click on Drupal to get subtopics of Drupal, like site building and coding and theming and a Drupal community and stuff. And if you click on one of these subtopics, it branches out, and you can see that site building contains advanced site building, which then in turn contains different topics that you can add to it. So that's for navigating the topic structure, the topic topic relations.
Is that screenshot of a live site where you actually click things on that tree and they expand in front of you?
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was just like a mock-up or an actual site thing.
No. That's an actual screenshot, and I'm using a module called the JIT for that, the JIT.
Okay.
It's some kind of JavaScript library, and I don't know JavaScript at all, but there's a module and it works, so I'm using it. And to start with, this was just for fun, like adding a cool graphical interface for browsing this, but I really think that this is a strength, one of the biggest strengths with the Skill Compass, because it's kind of inviting. When you see that mind map thingy, you want to click and you want to explore. And if you get that feeling, that then something is good with it, because it makes it so much easier to get into the site and learn new stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I just realized one more thing I want to mention about Skill Compass and how it's created. Sorry for going on and on about this, but I'm so excited about this.
No, it's fine.
Skill Compass is mostly feature exports. Like I've done things with views and flags and rules and whatnot, and just exported that into features, which means you can add it onto any site you want, basically. None of the things actually provide new pages or things like that necessarily. So there are basic features in Skill Compass that just provides content that you could put on a page, like blocks and content panes for panels. And then there are a number of features that provide actual pages. And these are just example pages and example layouts that you can use. But then you can tweak these and change them and anything to fit them the site you want to have. And that, I think, is a really useful way of providing features and installation profiles or something, so you can fit them into the site you want to have and not necessarily tell the user that you should have this on your front page. This should be on your left sidebar or something.
Hmm. Yeah. Have you explored the apps model?
Oh, I started looking at that, but no, not very much.
Okay.
It did seem really interesting.
I was just talking with a couple of the guys from Level 10, and I'm actually using their social media app. And it's pretty nice. I like it. So I was just wondering if that was something you had explored with this yet.
It seemed to me that I needed to have some kind of server set up that you fetch the apps from.
Yes, I think that's
right. And that's
right.
Where I kind of stopped, because okay. I don't have any server to do that. Maybe I should get one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's not important. I was just curious. Okay, so you're going to be using this for skillcompass.org, you know, as a way to run Drupal learning stuff. What other kinds of use cases can you think of off the top of your head?
Well, one that I will use is definitely for learning math. I will, as a math and physics teacher, have a lot of students learning math and get stuck on different topics and and I would like to have a good library with learning resources available so students can dig around and find things themselves. And hopefully also participate and add stuff and rate resources and things like that. And that, I hope, will make it easier for me, for example, to use resources on Khan Academy in my own math teaching, which would be really useful.
Hmm. So you're going to basically build a little site for your teaching, but then, you know, include links to the Khan Academy and other places for your students.
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay. These are three exercises you can do on linear equations, and here are two good blog posts, and here are five YouTube videos, things like that.
That's cool.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll see. We'll see. That's the thing about this. You can't really know how it really works until you try. Right. I have this huge roadmap and plan thing for Skill Compass, things I want to do, and I have like 12 points I need to do before launch, and now there's like 0.2 of them left, so I'm going to launch soon. And then I have 30 bullets I want to do, 30 items I want to do after launch. But the things I really need to do when I launch the site is like start to use it and get feedback from the users, including myself, and that will change all the plans I have for the future, because feedback from real users will be so critical for getting this project improved.
Yeah. All right. Well, Johan, that all sounds really good. Let's go ahead and wrap up this episode. A couple of questions I always ask. And the first is, what are you most excited about that's up and coming that you're not necessarily working on?
I think the thing I have at the very top of my list to look closer at is the configuration management initiative for Drupal 8, having configuration stored in code instead of in the database and kind of exported with features. That will be so useful, and I want to see how that's done in Drupal 8 or how that will be done in Drupal 8. Mm. I'm also very interested in the former Whiskey project and the branched off Blocks Everywhere project for Drupal 8. I'm kind of into using panels and page manager and things, and the Whiskey initiative and the Blocks Everywhere initiative will be really interesting to see how that materializes.
Okay, yeah, I've talked with both of the guys behind those, and it all sounds really
good. Yeah, it does.
All right, well, where can people find out more about you and your projects?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter. I have an account there called, Itangelo, the same name I use on Drupal.org, which is also a good way to find me or contact me.
Okay.
In a few days, hopefully, before this, I now pledge, before this podcast is published, I will have launched skillcompass.org. So you can find me there as well.
All right, no pressure.
Yeah. And then, If you scan the web, the interwebs, for the word Itangalo, you will find me, because that's a really weird word and I'm the only one using it. So
what is that from? Like, how did you get Itangalo? I've always wondered that.
Okay. Well, that's from an old song written by a group called Deep Forest that I happened to listen to a long time ago when I registered an account for Diablo 2.
Oh, I love Diablo 2.
Yeah, me too. And that name kind of stuck. So that's why.
All right. Cool. Well, that wraps up this episode. So, Johan, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much.
We'll be right back.